Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades. Finding the right insurance, best price. Auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. They're the insurance experts. Oh, and if there's a claim, man, they jump in as if it happened to them. They're your partner in this. So go to the insurance professionals, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, final half hour of the show. Coming up on Wednesday, Mark Narducci, Philadelphia Inquirer on Temple basketball. And Matt Leon on Penn basketball. It'll be on Wednesday's show. Time now for our play-by-play call today. The aforementioned Matt Leon with a great call from the Palestra.
12.4 seconds remaining. Penn 68, Harvard 65. They're on their feet at the Palestra. Juzang across the timeline. The Bassey off balance three, no good. Offensive rebound, Haskett gets it in the corner. Juzang three for the tie, no good. Bassey saves it, it's over! Penn's going to the NCAA tournament! Fantastic. The Quakers are going to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2007!
That's the emotion of it. We've had Doug Birdsong's call on last week, which was great. We have Matt Leon's call on moments ago, which was great. And in each instance, it showcases the emotion of getting there. So Matt, great call. Doug, great call. That's what it means. That's what it means to get there. Means a lot. Penn, by the way, gets Kansas. Penn did not get seeded right. As a 16 seed, I know they're the Ivy League champ. I thought Penn should have been like Bucknell, a 14. But, oh well, they get Kansas. Congratulations to them. Well, how about the Jake Arrieta deal? 3 years, $75 million. I'm going to talk with Bob Nightingale final half hour about that. But if you're a Phillies fan, you have to feel in some ways that the Phillies are doing a couple things that, for you as a fan, you have to feel pretty good about, right? I mean, yeah, I think he has a chance to maybe be a 15-game winner. Give a little mentoring to a young staff. That was quite the signing. I was taken aback. I was kind of taken back just a bit by the fact that they signed him. I didn't really expect that.
I'm surprised it was only for 3 years, and he's got an option for the third year for $75 million. I think just because of the length of the term of the contract kind of threw me a little bit. Just with the, does that kind of, you had mentioned the mentor side. Do they think they're more in a winning, you know, do you think they're more set to win than really what they are?
Well, I was actually taken aback by the opposite, that they gave him 3 years. Because I thought he was at a spot. Now, look, it's mid-March now. I thought maybe Arrieta's on the spot where he may have to sign for a year. I think for him it's going to be a relief to get 3 years. with that option there. So, you know, it's I thought it was a good deal for Philadelphia. I mean, he's going to get, what, $25 million a year. And he's not taking a vow of poverty to do this. Just like what J.D. Martinez. He got 5 years, $120 million. Okay? You're not in a bread line. So, I thought that was a big deal for Philadelphia. And he gives you a proven guy that can go out there and will take the ball and he'll eat up some innings for you. And, you know, a guy that's been there before. That was a great signing by them. Great signing. The NIT is 8 o'clock on Wednesday night with Temple. It means the airtime is set for 7:30 at the Jordan Center. I know Pat wanted to play Tuesday night, but they got Wednesday night instead. And TV dictated that. Because, again, the same story goes for Penn State that goes for all the Big Ten teams. I don't know what you're going to see. I don't know if you're going to see a team that is rested and refreshed. I would suspect that that will be part of it. You also have to have some concern. Are you going to be a little bit rusty? Because, well, let's see, for Penn State, it's going to be, what, 11 days? 11 days is not that bad. I think Pat was hoping to play Wednesday, so it would be just be 10 days. But, you know. Now, you may be a little bit rusty. You may be really rested. There may be no difference, no change at all. Now, what will be different will be the rules. The rules are going to be different. Here's what will be different. First of all, the lane will be the NBA width, so it's going to be wider. All right. Not so sure that's the way to go, but, you know, in terms of an experiment, but okay, fine. I mean, if you want to create spacing on the floor, you keep the lane the same width and create some more space. But Penn State has to play with this. The game will be in quarters. So 4 10-minute quarters. There will be no 1+1. No 1+1. You get to 5 fouls, it's 2 shots. So every foul, except for a potential 3 or 4 point play, okay, will all be 2 shots. Okay? The next part is, which to me is the biggest part of this, is the 3-point line, being at the international distance. It's going to be, when I say 15 inches further out. And how often have we seen a guy take a shot 15 inches further out from the line and say, you know, that might be a little bit beyond his range? So, I mean, those are the primary ones. Let's see, I thought there was a fourth one, too. Oh, I know what it is, and it's a rule I actually like. I don't really care about the quarters thing, whatever they want to do. I mean, I'm just used to 20 minutes each half, that's fine, but if they went to 4 quarters down the road, that's fine with me too. I'm all for this. On an offensive rebound, instead of getting a fresh 30, it goes to 20. And I think that I'm perfectly fine with that. You know, you don't need the 10 seconds. The 10-second line is you're already on that side of the court to begin with. It's an offensive rebound. So those will be the differences. The lane will be wider, NBA width. The three-point line further back, international length. Into quarters, four 10-minute quarters. Five fouls. Once you get to the fifth foul in the quarter, it's two shots. There's no one plus one any longer. So at the end of the game, you can't use the, hey, we're going to foul them here, put them on the line, get a front end, and get the ball back. Can't do that. So it changes the strategy there. And on an offensive rebound, it resets at 20 instead of resetting at 30.
Okay.
So that's what they're going to do.
Sounds like the endings of the NIT games will have a better flow to them. Not a lot of stopping.
I mean, you're still going to have to foul if you're behind. I mean, you have to stop the clock, and you've got to roll the dice. They're going to miss free throws. The difference is you're not going to have, Sean, the one plus one won't be there, where you can, if somebody misses a front end, and they, you know, you're sure they're getting zero out of it. I can miss the front end of a two-shot foul and still get one out of two and at least get something out of it. And that is, you know, the quarters will be interesting. I mean, you're used to timeouts at 16, 12, 8, 4. Now, how do coaches manage games with quarters? You know, where do you take a guy out to get a break before the TV timeout? I don't even know when the TV timeouts are. I mean, I won't know until I ask Jeff on Wednesday night and say, hey, Jeff, when are the TV timeouts? I think it's probably at the under five.
Will they still have the use it or lose it timeout before
yes.
the half?
So. Yeah. Yeah, and then three in the second half.
Okay.
But so the rules will be a little bit different. But to me, the primary one is the three-point shot. How many times have we ever looked around and said, yeah, that's just a little bit out of his range? Well, that line might be out of a lot of ranges. Not Shep Garner's. Shep Garner should be okay. I think Tony will be okay, too. But Lamar Stevens? No, I'm not so sure that's in Lamar's wheelhouse. Josh Reeves? It's on the border of his wheelhouse. So that will be interesting to see. Then you go back to the NCAA tournament. You're watching 20-minute halves, 16, 12, 8, 4 timeouts. You get longer timeouts in the NCAA tournament, so you don't have to play as many players. You get longer timeouts. That's why you see a lot of coaches cut their rotations down usually to 7. So if they're out of foul trouble, they're okay. And that first timeout that's called in the first half, that first use it or lose it in the NCAA tournament because they need the money, that first timeout of a use it or lose it ends up being a long timeout, just like the first timeout of the second half is. So you can coach the game a little differently if you're out of foul trouble in the NCAA tournament, because you have more rest time built in for your team. That's why you see so many times teams cutting back their rotation, usually like 7, no more than 8 guys. You're not seeing 9 and 10 guys. They don't need to go to the 9th and 10th guy if they're not in foul trouble. That makes a big difference. That makes a big difference. Now, how this works with quarters and timeouts and things like that, that part I can't tell you. I'm not sure yet. Like I said, I'm going to have to ask Jeff Tarman. I'm going to say, Jeff, when are we taking breaks here? Because the women have been doing this for a while, and evidently they like it. Men's college basketball is the only one in the world that plays halves and not quarters. Now, after 36 years of doing this, I am perfectly comfortable with halves. To me, I'm fine. I'm so used to doing 40-minute games that are 20 minutes each half, I don't know anything else. I don't know anything else. So I'll get a different education starting on Wednesday night. And I'll let you know whether I like it or not. Better yet, you, the fans, will be watching. You let me know if you like it or not. Maybe, you know, you may sit there and go, yeah, I actually kind of like this. I'll say this. It is confusing in watching the women's ticker whenever it comes up, where I'll see, for example, first of all, I always get the, but Kentucky's losing to Georgia by 20 points? Oh, it's a women's game. Okay. And then I'll see first. I'm like, first? Man, why? Or I'll see second. I'll see second. They've only got 32 points in the second half? Oh, wait, that's the second quarter. What am I doing? So you got to get used to the whole thing, which is fine. It'd be interesting to see what people think about it, because they can't change any of the rules until 2019. So that's a year away. And we'll see. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
All right, great to have you with us. Bob Nightingale is going to join us in the final half hour of the show today. We'll talk some baseball and his take on the Arrieta deal, a couple of other deals, and how spring training is going to this point. It's, like I said, times have really changed. Spring training was a big deal, you know. Hey, pitchers and catchers report. Now it's like, when's the season start? It's a little bit different. I'm going to assume Bob's out west, right?
Actually, when I got in touch with him yesterday, I actually didn't ask where he was. But
I assume he's out covering, like, Arizona.
Yeah, I do remember when we had Scott Miller on for his debut appearance on the show from Bleacher Report. I remember he told me his first trip on his spring training tour was going to be Cactus League first.
Yeah. Well, that's why Jack Ham and his buddies will go out and play. They'll play golf out in Scottsdale. They always pick the first weekend of April. Why? Because everybody has packed up from spring training and left. It's actually a good plan. You think about the economic boon it is for all of those people to have spring training baseball there. All those people there all the time. A lot of people, a lot of these parks are packed to watch these games. You watch spring training baseball, people love going to it. Now, they have no clue who they're watching out there because these are guys that are usually playing for the West Virginia Power.
You know what the best thing about Sunbury Motors Kia is?
I got nothing.
Hey, you're right.
I'm right?
Yep, you said nothing.
I'm confused. Nothing is the best thing about Sunbury Motors Kia?
Yep.
I'm still confused.
At Sunbury Motors Kia, it's all for nothing.
Huh?
Zero, zilch, nothing. No interest for up to 75 months on all new Kias.
So nothing is something at Sunbury Motors Kia.
It's all for nothing. listening in March at SMC. Get 0% financing for up to 75 months on 2018 Kia Fortes, Optimus, Portages, and Serenos. 0% financing for 66 months on 2018 Kia Souls and Sedonas. And 0% for 60 months on 2018 Kia Rios and Niros. And all include Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Financing offers available to qualified buyers through KMF financing in lieu of rebate. Excludes Kia Stinger and Cadenza. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades, making sure that you are insured. I don't care whether it's auto, home, life, business, they take care of it. They find you the right insurance, the best price. That is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. NIT opens up on Wednesday night, Penn State at home with Temple. We will have the game. Dick Girardi will join me for the broadcast at 7:30 on Wednesday night with an 8 o'clock tip-off. We're joined now by the outstanding Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Bob, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, let's start with Jake Arrieta. You're the one that broke the story on that. Interesting the way the salary is structured. Break that down for us, Bob, as to what you know.
Yeah, I mean, technically it's just a three-year deal for $75 million, but it's $30 million the first year, then $25, then $20. After the second year, he can opt out of that deal and become a free agent again. Now, if the Phillies want, they could avoid that opt-out by guaranteeing the next 2 years of that contract, and then, that could jump up to about $125 million in total value, at least $20 million a year. So it gives Phillies all the options in the world. Decide, okay, do we want to keep this guy around for $20 million a year after year three, or let him walk or just stay pat? So a great deal for the Phillies.
Bob, what does this do then on the field for the Phillies, and does it give a mentoring opportunity for Arrieta and a young staff?
Yeah, great mentoring opportunity. A little bit when my Cubs got John Lester. What it actually meant for the whole staff. And Arrieta is such a workout nut, great fitness guy, is that they can just watch the way he works, watch the way he becomes a professional pitcher. And this guy works out as hard as anybody. And I think they got him, for mentoring just as much as what he does on the field. And obviously they want him to pitch well. But I think he'll mean almost as much in that clubhouse.
Right, and that brings us to the next part, the on-the-field part. It's not a question of the Phillies closing the gap on Washington, but can they close the gap on the second wild card spot? Can this do that, or is it the gap too wide, in your opinion, Bob?
I think they're still a year away from that. The right division is easiest division in the National League, not baseball. That being said, you still got to finish over 500. That's going to be a big jump for those guys. I still think the Mets can be awfully dangerous this year. Obviously, the Nationals are the team to beat. So I think they're at least a year away from contending. But I do believe, now they're competitive.
Let's talk about how this free agent cycle has played out. Arrieta gets a deal that's club-friendly, but also he's not taking a vow of poverty either. J.D. Martinez had to wait a while before he finally signed a deal that everyone expected he would sign with the Red Sox. How have you viewed how this has played out, and how's the Players Association viewed as to how this has played out?
Well, the players are furious, and the players are furious at the Players Association as well, saying, wait a minute now, we got a raw deal here. How can you negotiate a better contract? And I don't think anybody saw the drag on salaries that would be in the free agent market. It's almost like, players not even want to become a free agent because you get left stranded. So when the one thing these players have learned is if if you're a free agent, you better sign that contract early because that money could dry up. Some of these contracts, like Neil Walker signed today for $5 million, John Lucroy for just 6.5, you know, and of course Mike Moustakas for 6.5 are just downright steals.
That brings me to the next part of this. You and I have talked about the analytics part before, and obviously sports is a copycat deal. I mean, in other words, if the Washington Redskins in the 80s are running counter Trey, suddenly next year there are 24 teams in the NFL running counter Trey because it worked. They're not using the same group, but they still do it. Are analytics playing a role that teams are saying, you know what, I can use younger players, and in the proper use of analytics, we can still win with them without having a high price guy?
Yeah, and I think, too, with all the GMs, our young GMs, it's like, you know, now it's almost so embarrassing if you send a guy a long-term contract, it doesn't work out. So nobody wants that in their resume. Everybody's kind of going young and rebuilding. It almost provides you some, almost a little bit of a lifeline. So you're going to have a greater job security, you know, because of that. And so many young GMs in front offices, it's like everybody's thinking the same way.
Which then brings, of course, managers. Aaron Boone was hired. Sounded like he convinced the Yankees about he knows analytics. Gabe Kapler, Phillies. A lot of people talked about how he loves analytics. Is that what we're seeing in the game now? Alex Cora with the Red Sox. Are you seeing more of that, that the general manager and the manager are both playing co-roles in this?
Yeah, and I think also that the general managers are playing a much more instrumental role as become, you know, almost like a pseudo manager as well, making up the lineups, that sort of thing. So, I think a lot of these GMs, one of the reasons they're hiring these young managers, you can control them. You know, you're not going to have a Bruce Bochy, a Buck Showalter, Dusty Baker say, hey, you're not doing that, I'm the manager. So all these young guys, you know, kind of grateful for the opportunity. Let's say, okay, whatever you want.
Also, what about Ichiro going back to Seattle? Where does that stand right now? And if it does happen, what does that emotionally mean for both sides?
Yeah, no, I mean, he's back. So I think it's, you know, they had a rash of injuries, so they needed a fourth or fifth outfielder anyway. He's perfect. He's still in great shape. He means so much to the organization. He only costs $750,000. You know, they'll make up for that in ticket sales and jersey sales in a heartbeat. So I think it's it's a nice story. Who knows whether he'll last all year. He is 44 years old. But if you're going to take a shot on some fourth, fifth outfielder, why not take a chance on Ichiro, especially if you're the Mariners?
Right, exactly. And he'll fit. And he's beloved there. He's beloved. How do you cover spring training?
I always go to usually go to Florida first, spend the first couple weeks there, and then leave right around the game start. And the reason for that, just because the sites in Florida are so spread out, you know, you're driving all day long, and then head over to Phoenix. Where in Phoenix, you know, you can drive, the furthest drive is about an hour. You know,
right.
You can find six complexes within 20 minutes of each other. A lot of people share complexes. So much, much easier in Arizona.
In fact, that was when I went out to do the Fiesta Bowl back in late December. That's what we noticed. Oh, there's a complex. There's a complex there. Jack Ham also told me he's not going back out to play golf till the first weekend of April once everybody clears out.
Yeah, it gets very crowded, especially this time of year when the temperatures are perfect. And, if you're a golfer, you want to come to Phoenix in the summer. I mean, you can get a tee time for dirt cheap prices because nobody's here.
exactly right. When you watch spring training, what are you specifically watching for? Are you watching to see who's in shape or who might not be right, or are you looking at a couple minor league players that are prospects? How do you look at it?
Yeah, you don't pay any attention to it really because it just doesn't mean anything. It's important for guys trying to make that final roster, that sort of thing, and maybe for a guy in a minor league contract or a spring training invite, even if he's a veteran, seeing if he does enough, you know, to make a spot on the roster. And that's about it. I mean, the spring training stats are so meaningless. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, from the Kansas City Royals, George Brett. I mean, he would just have a bad, awful spring, and then go 4-for-4 with a couple home runs on opening day. You know, it just doesn't mean anything. Team-wise, same thing. So, yeah, more of that. And sometimes, you know, like the new guys, like Shohei Ohtani, the Japanese two-way player for the Angels. You know, you go watch him just because it's so unique.
And when you saw him, what'd you think?
Just so-so. I mean, the swing is long. I'm not sure he was going to hit. I really don't. And but he can pitch. He's probably got better stuff than like a Yu Darvish, but certainly not as polished. You know, I think he'll do better once the season starts. I remember covering Nomo with the Dodgers, and he had a terrible spring. Then won Rookie of the Year. You know, Ichiro Suzuki was so bad his first spring with the Mariners. Lou Piniella wanted to release him, and he just thought he was terrible. But these guys, I think when they come to Japan, it's just like, hey, I'm just getting my work in, and as soon as the lights turn on, you know, boom, they're fine.
What did you think about the Yu Darvish move to the Cubs?
I liked it. I think they soured on Arietta a little bit. I think they thought he was going backwards, and that Darvish, you know, despite having a reputation not being a big time pitcher and collapsing the World Series, is that okay? They still see all that talent, and I think Darvish going to American League to National League, where it's so much easier to pitch. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins the Cy Young.
Bob, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for the time you gave us today. It's always great stuff.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today. We'll come back. Wrap up the show in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you back with us as we wrap things up. The NIT, where Penn State is going, it has changed over the years. Ever since the lawsuit, because the NIT had filed a lawsuit, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago against the NCAA, and the compromise to end the lawsuit, part of it was that the NCAA absorbed the NIT. So it used to be that if you were in a Power 5 conference and you won 20 games, or if you were in a Power 5 conference and you were at least 500 in your conference, you were a lock to go to the NCAA, to go to the NIT. In fact, if you had a winning record overall, if you had a winning record overall from a Power 5, you were a lock to go. It's not the case with the NIT anymore. The NCAA runs the NIT. And in fact, you can tell by the top four seeds, because everyone's seeded, where everyone happens to be in terms of what the NCAA thought on the bubble. Notre Dame was the team that was knocked out by Davidson. Well, Notre Dame is a one seed, and they're the first overall seed in the tournament. I mean, that's because it's a separate committee. They both meet in New York. So after the NCAA is done, they send over the teams to the NIT group down the hall. And then they start going through their process of seeding. Now, some teams are sent to them earlier than others. And, of course, the automatic bids that get in. For example, Notre Dame is going to open with Hampton. Hampton won the regular season, but lost in the tournament. Regular season champs automatically get bids to the NIT. So it's a different selection than it used to be. You need more than a winning record. I mean, to get into the NIT, you got to really win your way in. You really have to. You just can't, hey, we have a winning record, we're in. That's the way it used to be. And so they'll start on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock in the Jordan Center. Bucknell, meanwhile, I'm going to guess Bucknell has to leave tomorrow because they would have to be in the open practice on Wednesday. And what's really great for Nathan Davis's team is that because they have been there before, this is not foreign territory. Open practice, big crowd in the gym, no problem. Press conference, go in there, have a little fun with the media. No problem. Okay, need tickets? Tickets are all set. Because anytime you've done something before, your comfort level is completely different.
Actually, it was this Monday last year, day after, you know, getting the bid, they hopped on board the buses and left to Buffalo to beat the snowstorm.
Right, to beat the snowstorm. I hope they're flying to Detroit. I mean, really. Come on, don't bust to Detroit.
I would think they'd be, what, bussing to Harrisburg and then fly out of there, right?
Just fly. Get, you know, take a plane. NCAA gives it to you. Use it. Right? Use the plane. I mean, I know you can save money, but fly them. Now, obviously, I'm not in charge of the finances at Bucknell. Obviously, this NCAA tournament money, I'm not sure how the Patriots splits it. I'm sure they split. Everybody gets a cut of it. And it's already pre-budgeted because you know you're only going to get one team in the NCAA anyway. But, yeah, and I realize you've got to take care of your women's soccer program. You've got to take care of your baseball program. I understand all that. Believe me, how many times have I talked about that on this show? I mean, this is not a show that is naive on finances at all. But, jeez. It's a big deal they're going. Fly them. So, just my opinion from the outside looking in. Athletic director's like, get him off the air. Don't you talk about it.
He's spending our money.
I know. I'm spending their money for him. Yeah, but you know what? They'll be able to go in relaxed. Do whatever. Brand new arena, by the way. This is where the Pistons and the Red Wings are now playing.
Ah, the new Little Caesars Arena.
Little Caesars Arena. Yes. Brand new downtown. I think everything's pretty close. I think Comerica's close. I think Ford Field's close. Now they've got this. I think it's a little bit further down the street. Michigan State is not a difficult trip from Lansing. I want to say it's an hour 45. They will be there in droves. In droves. Michigan State will travel well, especially the first two rounds. And go from there. But Ward's a problem. Bridges is a big problem. Jackson, as a shot blocker, I consider him a problem. I don't consider him a problem anywhere else. I just don't see it. You look at Nana Fowland. Let's say Nana Fowland and Zach Thomas. You know what the two of them have that I don't see in Jackson? An absolute motor. Nana Fowland outworks everybody, and Zach Thomas outworks everybody. I watch Jackson, and look, I've sat there courtside for three games in the past 5 weeks watching him. I don't know where the engine is. Now, do I see the natural talent? Absolutely. Long arms, range, the whole thing. But I don't see the engine. Miles Bridges at least has an engine, and Cassius Winston has an engine, I can tell you that. Cassius Winston's player. But remember, when Tum Tum's out there, it's 4-on-5.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.